Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Puck and Pod. My name is Joe.
I am Spartacus.
Once again, I think your name is not Spartacus. Try it one more time.
You know what? I can be whoever I want to
okay.
be, Joe.
You be you. You do you.
I'll be Brandon, I guess.
Well, what about this guy?
I'm Canadian.
This show is out of hand. My name is Joe. That's Brandon. That's Paul. This is the Puck and Pod.
We're here. We're ready.
And it's been a crazy time, and that explains a lot why you guys can't figure out who you are. We've got hockey going on. We've got baseball going on. We've got football going on. We have basketball going on. Like, all the sports seem to be happening at the same time at this moment.
Golf. I've been watching more golf lately. I don't know why, but I have been.
So, like, what are you guys focusing on? Are you just focusing on hockey right now? Are you watching all the sports? What are you sticking to?
For me, I'm always focused on hockey. It's the first thing I do. Like, when I get through my morning routine at work, I usually pop up TSN and check out NHL. I don't give a crap about anything else. That's usually what I focus on. It could be the fact that the New York Rangers equipment manager just got married. Like, it doesn't matter to me, right? Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's more about the passion for hockey and surrounding it and knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
Jumping on the Blue Jays bandwagon, I'm doing it. Not that I ever stepped off.
No, I was going to say, you've always been a Blue Jays fan.
Yeah, you definitely have the frustration, but they're on a roll.
What is it called in baseball? Is it a heater? Is it a roll? What is it when they're winning game after game? It's impressive, is what it is.
Probably whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
heater or roll. But consistency, which is something that I've been complaining about since the start of the year with this team. So they're finally becoming that consistent team that a lot of us wanted.
I've been hearing a term lately.
Oh.
That, and it's described with good teams, like Florida's been called it, Edmonton's been called it, the Blue Jays, the Yankees, who we have, OKC Thunder in the NBA right now, the Indiana Pacers. I hear being called a wagon.
Man, they're a wagon.
Like,
yeah, I've heard that.
I can't just say, hey, man, they're a good team.
I wonder where first of all, the reference comes from.
Like, is a wagon supposed to be strong and tough? Like, the little red wagon that I sat in as a fat kid didn't last very long.
When I imagine the term, my mind is that they're like a bull pulling, you know, pulling everybody behind them. Like, they're just strong and unstoppable, right? I mean, I'm sure wagons are quite stoppable if you really
red one I sat in as a kid didn't like me too much.
I think it's probably just to do with the whole bandwagon reference
Everybody's
like, oh,
rooting for them.
My team's in the final. They're the best team ever. I don't watch them the whole year, but I'll watch them right now.
That probably makes the most sense, actually.
Yeah.
Good one, Paul.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
It's very philosophical.
Let's roll with that.
Yeah. But, there, you know, we're looking at right now, we're currently watching game four between Florida and Edmonton. And this has been quite the series. When you consider the way game one went and how Edmonton took the game, I'm not sitting here taking credit for the way Florida's playing, but I did say, like, you know, hold on, they did win in overtime. Let's not get too excited here. Florida is putting out a good effort. And of course, the game number two, Florida ended up winning it in overtime. But then game number three, it was scary how Florida took that game.
And then frustrations just started to boil over, right? That happens a lot, especially in the playoffs, if games get out of hand.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's intent or if it's just frustration or if it's a combination of both, but Edmonton didn't like the way that game went. By the way, what's with all the time between games?
Yeah, that's kind of a huge talking point lately is where we got like three days off between games. It's like,
the first time I can understand because they're traveling.
Yeah.
You're traveling from Edmonton to South Florida.
But from a Florida game to another Florida game, it's like, why do we need
2 days in between, for sure? And I mean, there's already lots of people over the years that have said the hockey season's way too long.
Yeah, it is.
Well, then you do stuff like that, right? And then you have no time. And this is from a fan's perspective and like an executive perspective in the NHL. Yeah. You have no time between the end of the season for the teams that are going far. At the end of the season and then the NHL draft. What is it, 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, well, okay, look at it this way. It goes so long that the teams got tired of waiting for it to end before they started making moves. Today, we had our first trade in the offseason, and Chris Kreider is now an Anaheim Duck. So, I mean, if that doesn't tell you it goes on too long, that I don't know what does. You know, there was a, oh, they just scored again. 2-0 Florida.
on another power play.
Two power play goals. talk about Edmonton's frustrations boiling over. I think this is not going to help things when it comes down to, you know, the Oilers kind of heavy hitters kind of getting frustrated and making those big mistakes. That was on a Darnell Nurse penalty. The previous one was, who was it? It was a high stick on who? What was his name? It wasn't Perry. Oh, it was Evander Kane.
Evander Kane. Right, yeah.
So a couple of heavy hitters, a couple of emotional guys, right? Do you think emotion is going to kind of hurt Edmonton in this? I mean, we're already down 2-1 in this series, 2-0 in the game. Who knows what can happen from here?
You have to wonder, maybe there might be a little more pressure, the fact that they're a Canadian team, and it's been over 30 years since a Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup. So they could be feeling that pressure, at least maybe Connor McDavid, considering he's like the face of hockey in Canada. There's that possibility.
You know, and I'm sure you guys as Leaf fans can agree with me on this, but like, there has to be a precedence with when it comes to those Canadian players who are playing on Canadian teams. You got to take cheaper contracts. You have to. It's the only way that team is going to be able to build around you. And when you're making $12 million on a flat cap, like, how are you going to elevate your team by taking those contracts? And I think of Mitch Marner in this scenario, right? Like, he should not have been making what he was making on the Leafs. I'm looking at Edmonton with Darnell Nurse making $10 million. Are you kidding me? Like, this is ridiculous, right?
And speaking of ridiculous, and on the same topic, Bettman came out the other day. Biz asked him on the broadcast last game about, you know, do you think that you're going to try to rework the whole situation with tax-free states? And Bettman came right out, didn't even let Biz finish the question, was like, you know, this notion is ridiculous, and the Florida teams for years were garbage, nobody made a stink. And it's like, actually, bobblehead, believe it or not, there is a difference.
Bobblehead's actually really creative.
Because
nickname
if
for
you
him.
Take, if you have a $10 million cap hit in Florida,
yeah,
and you have a $10 million cap hit in Toronto, just as an example, and Florida's not the only place. Vegas, the other Florida team is what I mean. they were referencing Seattle, which I didn't realize.
In terms of the taxes,
Texas, so like the Dallas Stars, right? If you have a $10 million cap hit in Florida, you're going to bring home, I think they did the calculation, it was like $7.538 million. In Toronto, you bring home $5.37 or something. Like, it's literally $2.5 million less at the same cap hit
in a Canadian market.
Yeah, in a Canadian market or anywhere other than a tax-free state.
Now, the counter argument to that, of course, is that the Canadian dollar is so much weaker than the American dollar that, you know, even though they're taking home $5 million US on their paychecks, it still equates like $7 million based on the fact that our dollar is so weak, right?
Also more expensive to live.
That's true, too.
Up north here.
It's Vancouver is a good example, right?
It could also be John Tavares and have the Canadian Revenue Agency going after you for your last contract signed. So, you know, that's a thing.
Speaking of Tavares, I read that Tavares's next contract will not be less than $5 million.
I've heard that, but I've also heard that there's the possibility they might sign into a long-term deal with
a cheaper price,
deferred money,
yeah,
and that he might make between $3 to $4
million. That could benefit you, and it could also hurt you if he gets injured and has to retire. Then you end up getting a cap recapture penalty, which is what happened with Luongo in Vancouver,
right?
So you have to be really careful when it comes to signing those type of contracts. But there's always that possibility, no matter who you're signing to those deals. But it's those older players you have to be really careful for. Right. But let's talk a little bit more about these playoffs. I mean, we've got the NHL playoffs. We've also got the NBA playoffs. When we were talking about OKC, what's the series at right now for OKC in Indiana? It's Indiana, right?
2-1, I think, for OKC.
To be clear, it is Indiana they're playing, right?
Yes, okay, Indiana. Okay. And Oklahoma.
I didn't want to sound like an idiot, but
it is 2-1. Indiana took the lead last night as we're recording the podcast, last night in the series. So they're up 2-1 right now. It's been a pretty tight-knit series, I'd say, so far. Obviously, the storylines, again, if we're looking at the Canadian side, is, again, watching SGA and Pascal Siakam. Siakam's been pretty dominant, but it's not even just been him. Like, Tyrese Halliburton on the Indiana Pacers has been a revelation for them. Yeah. This playoffs. Like he's always been a good player, and Florida scores again.
Oh boy. Oh my goodness.
By the way, Tkachuk has 2 goals in this game. So when you were talking about earlier about maybe Tkachuk finally woke up, and I was like, yeah, let's well,
I mean,
yep.
Sorry, Paul.
No, that's okay. Edmonton. Obviously, possibly another six something loss for Edmonton here if the game keeps going like this. But looking again at the NBA, at least, Halliburton's had a bit of a revelation for the playoffs. Again, good player during the regular season, but it's been lights out for them so far.
The headline from last game said that the Pacers bench won them the game.
Yeah, oh, totally.
You know, I mean, Siakam only had 21 points, mm-hmm. which, I mean, that's nothing to scoff at, but, you know, he can especially average playoffs, a lot higher than that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But by committee, and there's another Canadian player on Indiana. Actually, and I didn't realize that. Montreal native, Mathurin. Benedict Mathurin.
Yep.
Now, I wonder, is it French? Or is he just from Montreal? Like, is it
I'm going Mathurin? To assume it's French. I'm going
it's like Mathurin. Benedict Mathurin.
Benedict. Don't pronounce the T.
Benedict. Yeah, no, and actually I've been hearing that Shai is going to be, like, the pace that he's playing in his career, because it's still early in his career, that he's going to be one of the best players in the league for quite some time. He won MVP this year, right?
Yep.
We're probably going to see another one at least in his career in the future. So that's something to be excited about as a Canadian basketball fan, I think. And does he ever play for Toronto? Does he ever play? That's the question.
Fingers crossed, yeah. For the Raptors, right? So that would be the dream.
It'll be a costly trade, but it'll be worth it.
Well, they could wait till he's a free agent,
that's
right?
That's true, too. When is he a free agent?
He signed a 5-year contract. I think it was 2 years ago, so he's got another 3 on his contract before it's up.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, well, a couple of years later, you never know.
Never know.
There's a few players I'm waiting for on Vancouver as well for the Canucks. So, you know, who knows what'll happen.
There's been a lot of chatter in the NBA. It's not necessarily come to fruition because Antetokounmpo's kind of turned it down, but there's been a lot of chatter of him possibly being a trade target during the offseason for the Raptors.
What's his name?
Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Antetokounmpo or whatever? Yeah.
I thought he played for Toronto.
Who am I thinking of?
You're Kawhi Leonard, probably?
No. There's another guy with a name just like
that. Oh, his brother. He has a brother in the NBA.
And he played for Toronto, right?
No.
There's a guy who played for Toronto with a similar last name. Anyway.
Hakeem Olajuwon?
No.
Alphabet soup, I don't know.
I could just be way off, too. That's the other possibility. But
just to touch on that Benedict Mathurin guy, just how is this possible? 6'5" and 210 pounds only. Like, I'd be stoked if I was 5'5" and 210 pounds.
Wow, he's a skinny guy.
Don't get caught in the wind in Indiana.
I know, right? That's a funny joke. Have you seen that Family Guy episode where they joke about, I don't want to say the model's name, but there was a skinny model that Chris was on a date with and she ends up flying away in the breeze? It's pretty funny. But you know, gentlemen, the day we record this podcast, which is of course right now, as we record this podcast, there's a ton of sports happening right now. We're currently watching the hockey game between, Florida and Edmonton, but there's also some CFL football happening right now too. The BC Lions are playing game number 2 against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Now they just played, I think it was Saturday night. I want to say Saturday night, their home opener at BC Place. So it's less than a week since their last game. It's kind of unheard of in the CFL to do that. They typically usually have at least a week off between games.
Right.
But this one's a special one. They'll probably have a bye week soon, which is going to give them that rest that they need. But the one thing about playing the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and props to the Edmonton Elks who put up a challenge for the Lions in game number 1. The one thing that kind of was understated about that game is that we had a Canadian quarterback in Nathan Rourke on BC, and then Trey Ford, who's the Canadian quarterback on Edmonton. It's actually very rare for Canadian quarterbacks to go head to head.
Yeah,
I think it's like the last time it happened was like 1960 or something like that.
Oh wow!
So yeah, it was quite some time ago. Really exciting game, and BC did end up pulling out the win, but really they didn't start playing that way until the second half of the game. It was the third quarter, and it was all props to Nathan Rourke for making that happen. The specific play, the drive itself started on their 3-yard line just based on, I think it was a, it was either a turnover on downs or they just kicked the ball and ended up getting it in their third yard line because of the way the ball, you know, the way they caught it or whatever. But yeah, they ended up taking it from the 3 yard line all the way to the end zone and got a touchdown on two major plays by Nathan Rourke. In the whole middle of that whole thing is he ended up keeping the ball and running for like 15 yards each way. So pretty incredible stuff when you consider what he's been through going to the NFL 2 years ago, or I guess last year, really trying to make it in the NFL and then coming back to the CFL halfway through the season, kind of struggling a little bit with a new playbook and kind of getting used to the certain players on the team and whatnot. This is his team this year. And, he showed that he's capable of, you know, carrying the team if he needs to, and that's exactly what happened.
You were stoked at be like early stages of our podcast that he was coming back to play for BC.
Yeah, I went to his first game back, and it was exciting. It was exciting to see him back, but I understood the fact that he wasn't going to know the playbook, and he wasn't going to be the same Nathan Rourke that he was in 2022 because of the fact that he didn't know the playbook, right? So it was cool to see him back again, and it's cool now to have him back and actually be running the team. But he is in for a test again tonight playing the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, who, year in, year out, they've been one of the best teams, if not the best team in the league. And our buddy Frank, who's a huge Winnipeg fan, I'm sure is kind of, because he cheers for both BC and Winnipeg. He's a season ticket holder.
I was going to say, Andy has season tickets.
So, you know, it's interesting to kind of see what's going on with this. And I'm really hoping that they can pull it out and beat Winnipeg. And, you know, you just never know.
So, Paul, the Bombers are a wagon.
A wagon. But, I mean, BC looks like they're a wagon, too, so far. So let's, you know. And I think, actually, Edmonton's going to be a really good team this year, just based on the game that they played against BC. They held their own offensively. I think their biggest weakness was probably defense. But in the end, it's not like BC blew them away, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do this year. They'll definitely be in the playoffs.
Do you think that Rourke coming back from kind of a failed opportunity in the NFL, does that shoot his confidence down at all? I mean, I haven't watched football on an analytical level like ever.
Nathan Rourke is probably the best player to watch on an analytical level because he literally lives the game. One thing that they were focusing on back in 2022 with him is that they would show him like, after practice is over, there's nobody else on the field and he's still working, still trying to get better every game. And that was the cool thing about him. You don't see that with any other players. Like they don't try to, you know, they don't go out there and try to work on reading plays and like how to look down the field and all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of his specialty. And he thinks the game faster than most do. And I think that's important when you're quarterback. So he's a special quarterback, and it's going to be really exciting to see what happens this year. Hopefully they can pull off the win tonight. So,
you take a lost opportunity and you turn it into a gained opportunity,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, so exactly.
Roll with it.
Yeah. I mean, they had a chance back in 2022 to go far. Unfortunately, they ended up losing to Winnipeg, if I remember correctly. I think it was to Winnipeg. Winnipeg ended up going to win the Grey Cup that year in 2022.
Don't ever mention the CFL around my mom's husband. It's only Rough Riders. That's the only thing you could ever talk about.
What is it with Rider fans?
My father-in-law too.
Yeah, like what is it with Rider fans? They're everywhere. They're everywhere, and I mean it. They live everywhere. Like you go on the ferry to go to a Lions game versus the Riders, and there's lots of guys in green on that ferry. Like, it's crazy.
They're the Leafs of the CFL.
I've said that many times. They're the Leafs of the CFL. Although I think Leaf fans are getting better, you know. But maybe it's because I've been hanging out with you guys too much. I don't know.
The team's not, so I don't know why the fans are.
Maybe that's why. They don't have much to rub in their face.
I was always an Argos and Stampeders fan growing up.
Yeah, you grew up in Toronto and then Calgary, right? So
yeah, like born in Toronto, most of my life in Calgary. Mm-hmm. But I can still remember like early 90s series, like Pinball Clemens running the ball at the field and stuff. So yeah. Watching Darren Flutie, Craig Dickinson.
What's so funny about the CFL is that most of those players play on other teams too. Darren Flutie played on BC for a long time.
Yep. Doug Flutie. I'm talking about Doug Flutie, but Darren Flutie played, yes.
Doug Flutie played on BC as well.
That's right.
And he also played on Calgary. He played mostly on Calgary, but played on BC for a year as well. So my dad's got his jersey. He was a huge Flutie fan. huge. And of course, Flutie made a made a huge progress in the NFL as well. So
yeah, still is a Chargers. Big name for himself. I think he played for the Chargers for a bit.
I played for Buffalo. I know that for a fact.
Yep. And I also played for the Patriots at one point.
Did he?
Yep.
That's news to me. I think he came out of retirement to play one more year for, maybe that was for Buffalo. I can't remember, but yeah. Huge influence Doug Flutie was. And Calgary's doing well this year, too. They opened up the season on a win as well. So
nice.
There you go.
So everybody won the first week.
Yeah, everybody. Everybody, except the teams that lost. But it's exciting to see all these sports happening at the same time. And you rarely get to sit back and actually watch one and then change the channel to the other and kind of, you know, catch what play, you know, when it's a commercial break here, I'll go and watch this one. And, you know, it's pretty fun time. There is those days, though, like, for example, right now, because with football, it's usually a week apart. It's usually a week apart between games. And of course, with the playoffs, like you said, there's like 3 days off in between games. There are days when there's no sports to watch, which is like, I don't know what to do.
Watch golf.
Yeah, watch
That's
golf.
That's when you watch golf.
I've watched golf. I've also, it's 4-0 now. Oh, no, that was a replay. That was a replay. Relax, everybody. That was just
intermission.
A replay.
Yeah, intermission.
But no, I do watch golf, but I actually, the other day, I ended up watching a couple of movies. So caught up on some movies I haven't watched yet. And we were just talking about it off camera there. But the movie Sinners, which I really enjoyed. Yep. And then I also watched The Amateur with Rami Malek. It was okay. It was okay. It wasn't what I expected.
The previews didn't make it look anything super special.
I thought the previews made it look special, and that's why I got excited. And then when I watched it, I was like, this isn't what I was looking for. Like, I thought it was going to be kind of like the Bourne movies.
Me, it kind of gave me the impression of, like, Forrest Gump taking a hostage situation.
I'll give the guy a little credit.
Not interesting.
That is my bomb.
he was a really... So, for those of you who don't know, the movie itself is... it's about a guy who works for the CIA who he's like a really smart intelligence person.
He's an analyst.
Yeah. And basically he's got, something happens. I don't want to give too much away, but something happens that devastates him. It affects his very close loved one. And he tries to figure out, you know, or tries to get revenge on the people who did it because the CIA won't do anything. And he's finding all these clues as to who they are and who, like, what happened. But the CIA won't do anything about it. And that turns out it's because there's, you know, underlying reasons, right? And so he takes matters into his own hands. And it reminds me like the Bourne movies, really, in that sort of scenario, except the fact that he knows who he is and all that stuff. But anyways, there's a lot less action than I was expecting. And that was the thing that disappointed me. It was a good story for the most part. But I really liked Sinners. I thought Sinners was good. Sinners reminded me, like I was telling you, reminded me a lot of From Dusk Till Dawn. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but
From Dusk Till Dawn?
Yeah, have you seen that?
Oh, a million times.
Oh, perfect.
Absolutely.
Okay. So there's a Tarantino-esque movie. It's Robert Rodriguez, but there's a Tarantino-esque movie that you've seen that you enjoy. That's a good movie.
All I know is that Quentin Tarantino literally wrote the part.
He cast himself for the role.
To have Salma Hayek's foot in his mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
While she pours tequila down her leg. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. We all would have done the same thing, buddy.
I mean, exactly.
When you're given the green light by the studio, why not, right?
So. Exactly, yeah. And if Selma's okay with it, then whatever. But yeah, no, this movie, it takes place in like the 20s, 20s or 30s. And it's just very, like, very well acted. I really enjoy the actors in it. I was talking to you about, what's her name?
Hailee Steinfeld.
Hailee Steinfeld. She plays the sort of longtime friend of the main character played by Michael B. Jordan. He plays two characters actually, which is really kind of neat. I thought it was really good. A really entertaining movie. It doesn't really pick up till about halfway through. And we did the math when we were watching it. It's literally halfway through the movie till the like second act starts. And that's when all the crap goes down. But you know something happens when you first start the movie. Like, as soon as the first scene happens, you're just like, okay, something happens here. And then you find out what, basically, is what the...
We watched a trailer for it a couple weeks ago and ultimately decided not to watch it just because we're kind of like, yeah, it looks a little goofy.
It's pretty long, too. It's pretty long. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes or something like that. So it does take a while for stuff to go down. But like I say, it's good once it does. Like, you know... you think the story's, and this is what Dust Till Dawn did to me. You think the story's going one way, and then it goes another. You know, it's just like,
I think
whoa.
I would have been totally fine with From Dust Till Dawn with the original storyline the way it was heading.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you turn and you're like, oh, that's
but
new.
But it's so good. I
didn't
love it.
Have that on the bingo card.
Yeah.
The one thing about Sinners, there's always, I find with like every movie kind of like that, there's always that one character that you want to die. And certainly there's there was one character in that where her ultimate demise, I'm not giving anything away, I was very pleased to see that happen. So,
all right.
Her ultimate demise, but I'm not giving anything away.
We know it's
away.
A her. We know it's a her.
And it's a her. That's like jumbo shrimp, Paul.
Yeah, could be anybody. It's a good movie. I enjoyed it a lot. So, you know, if you're not watching sports, there's always lots of movies and TV shows to watch. So those are my recommendations anyways. I just watched them yesterday, so it gave me some time to think about it. But
so Jaromir Jagr added to his trophy case today.
The guy's like 70 years old. How is that possible?
He's not 70.
He's like 70.
I don't know how old he is, but he's not 70.
His body probably feels like he's 70.
He apparently won a regional Emmy Award for his jersey retirement ceremony.
For diving? Or?
No. it's just something to do with his retirement ceremony and producing something along with the whole like camera crew and documentation of the event.
Actual ceremony?
Yeah, like it's called Celebrate 68.
Okay.
Basically, and it's like it sounds like it's like a docuseries or a documentary put together. And he actually won an Emmy Award for producing it.
Wow.
This guy's
that's freaking weird, man.
Oh, man.
Paul, why don't you break down this trade that happened today with Kreider and the Anaheim Ducks? Can you tell us what was involved at least in this trade?
I can. Yeah, just give me a second here.
I know that you know, when you look at it on from the sort of outside lens, it feels like the Rangers were sort of getting not much in return for Kreider. However, what we know is that the draft pick that they got, they did move up 15 spots in the draft based on the position of the
yeah.
pick that they gave up for the trade as well, right? So they ended up getting Carey Terrence
and Toronto's third round pick for this upcoming draft, which Toronto had originally traded that pick to Anaheim for some forward named Kirill Slepitz.
You don't even know.
Don't even know anything yeah. about him. I don't think he's ever going to become anything, obviously, with the Leafs. But and then
watch him be like the star kid on the in the friggin'
yeah. Well, and
prospect.
Then, yeah, like I said, Kreider going to Anaheim. They're getting a fourth round pick. Like I said, moving 15 yeah. slots down. You were saying earlier when we were talking, kind of in our chat, that 15 spots makes a difference. I agree and disagree, and I retorted on that. That basically every kind of pick after the second round, your chances make the NHL decreases like exponentially. Like
yeah.
first and second rounders, I believe, equate to something like 60%, 70% of the players in the league, and then everything else is kind of.
It's a fair point. I think really what it comes down to is, like you say, it's a gamble. But
yeah.
but ultimately, some of the best players in the league are late round picks too.
Yeah.
Or historically.
Yeah, yeah. Historically, like
yeah. we've had. There's been some gems for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Diamond and the rough. There, you know, and there are people that get picked. And I mean, this draft in particular, they have been saying is somewhat of a weaker draft, this 2025 draft. But they said that about the 2018 or 2017 draft. And there ended up being a bunch of studs on that in that draft too. So it does happen. But like you say, you just never know what you're getting out of those. You just got to make sure you draft right.
Well, this digs into the Ducks' cat space now, obviously, mm-hmm. for the offseason.
Oh, like,
there's
God.
Lots of talk about, obviously, Mitch Marner, but, you know, there's other players out there. Besser, you know, Bennett. Yeah, lots to choose from.
And I mean, Anaheim's been so up and down as well that their players that play on the team now, they might want to look to move
yeah.
some of those out. Like we've talked about Trevor Zegras maybe wanting a change of scenery.
Apparently, they've been trying to move him for quite some time, like a couple of years now. This might be the offseason we see him go for sure. You know, with the amount of cap space that they have, even after picking up Kreider, they could buy my house 70 times. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, that's a trade chip in itself, right? Cap space.
It sure is.
And especially with the cap going up. And I mean, Anaheim has done pretty much nothing for 4 or 5 years, but it's not like it's a low market team.
Yeah.
they still make tons of money.
And they have to be at a certain floor too, right? Like the with the way the cap does. Works.
Yeah, they do.
They have
yeah.
to be at a certain floor. Is this the space that they have, that's below the floor, correct?
Yeah, well, and they got 11 million, more than 11 million coming out the books right now. 12 million actually coming out the books too. So, I believe you have to be at about almost 22 million to be at the, yeah. the floor minimum.
No, it's 40 something.
Is it?
Yeah,
40 something million dollars.
Yeah.
Does anybody have more than $40 million in cap space? I assume Anaheim has the most cap space out of anybody. Correct.
Well, I meant in terms of cap space available. You can't. I don't think you can exceed. At the start of the season, $22 million in cap space. I think you have to.
Oh, I see, I see, I see. Oh, yeah. Like, okay.
Doing the flip of it. So
you're talking about as soon as the season starts.
Yeah, as soon as the season starts, I believe you have to be around $22 million for your cap hit. That's the amount of cap space that you can have. If you have more than that, you have to fill in the cap.
The gaps.
So whether signing somebody or trading.
And it's tough if you've already got a full roster, right? Like. Yeah. You got to be really, you have to make trades at that point. You have to.
You'd have to.
So the upper limit on the cap next year is going to be 95 and a half.
Nice. From like 80, what are we at? 87 or something?
It was 80.
I think it was 88.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Because it went up almost 9 million. The lower limit you have to meet is 70.6.
Wow.
Million dollars. So teams like, I was about to say the Utah Hockey Club, the Utah Mammoth,
yeah,
who like have been hovering around the cap floor for years. Sometimes they like, how can they even afford?
Yeah,
how can they even afford to get there? Sometimes on it, you know, they've been playing in an arena that has 5,000 seats.
Just crazy.
So, oh, man, just I mean, they were obviously they're not now.
Not now, yeah. Now they're playing it in an actual stadium. It's pretty, or an actual arena. I mean,
I might be a backseat Mammoth fan, to be honest with you. I just kind of want to see them succeed.
I'm just happy they're not in an arena named after a haircut. So,
yeah. Oh, that one. Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about?
That's oh, true. Edmonton! Oh, Edmonton! Oh. Nope.
Still 3-0 Florida. Nope. 18:50 left in the second period.
They're being outshot 17-7 too. I mean, I know that's not indicative of necessarily what's happening in the game,
yeah.
but it kind of is at the same time, right?
Yeah.
If you like, before we started recording, as we were setting up everything, I said to you guys, and I said, look at Florida's forecheck. Marchand was on the left wing, dumped it in at the blue line, so yeah. Edmonton's blue line, went off on a change. Nurse went back around to retrieve the puck. And it went around the far side of the net. So he had to go around the back of Skinner to pick it up. As he was doing that, he got hit by the first Florida forechecker. And as that player separated Nurse from the puck, the second Florida forechecker came in and retrieved it.
Yeah.
All on a line change play.
Yeah.
So, just, I mean, like, you don't have any... Oh, what do we got? What do we got? What do we got?
Little pressure.
Marshy and Nuge.
An interesting fight. Marchand's like right in his face.
He was just like, you should put on some that platform skates, bro.
That should have been offside. If they score, I would have challenged that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, my prediction's still alive. I did say it was going to be in five.
You sure did. And honestly, I might have to get you to choose lottery numbers for me next time if that happens, because that's crazy. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, like I was talking about before, there's so much sports happening right now. It's hard to keep track sometimes of what we are watching. And I mean, for me, I'm watching the NHL playoffs. I'm watching the AHL playoffs as the Abbotsford Canucks start the Calder Cup Finals tomorrow, which is really exciting for me. I'm stoked.
Lo and behold, there's another Florida team.
I know.
In the finals, the Charlotte Checkers.
Yeah, Florida's AHL affiliate, the Charlotte Checkers, versus Vancouver's. Should be interesting to see what happens. I'll be honest, I'm not expecting much considering the Charlotte Checkers just came off of two sweeps in a row.
Oh, wow.
They swept one team, played in the conference finals and swept that team. So, you know, the way I see it, it's like, you know, just I'm proud of Abbotsford for making the finals, period. But, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy to see them make their own history at the moment. They've never been this far before.
Former Oiler in high pick is on playing for the Checkers right now.
We've got a former Oiler on the Abbotsford Canucks as well. I'm curious who that is you're talking about.
Jesse Puljujärvi.
Oh, Puljujärvi.
I'm saying, it's not Yakupov, is it? He's over in Europe or
yeah,
Yakupov will never come back to North
America. Or he might be flipping burgers.
We'll never see him in the NHL again. But Yeah, Puljujärvi is on the Florida's Charlotte Checker team, and we in Abbotsford have Jujhar Khaira, who of course used to be an Oiler as well. So,
is it Khaira or Khaira?
It's Khaira.
Khaira.
Who's the standout player for the Abbotsford Canucks?
So there's a couple, to be honest, but probably I'll name specifically two. And for me, it's Max Sasson, who is the speedster. He's fast. And also Linus Karlsson he's been quite the beast when it comes to like taking the puck to the net and making plays and stuff like that. It's been really impressive. But they've got a few players. Even on defense, like the guy that the Canucks picked up in the JT Miller trade is Victor Mancini. He's been really impressive in terms of the way he moves the puck. I think he learned a lot playing with Quinn Hughes in Vancouver. Because he moves just like Quinn Hughes does. He tries to juke, you know, when it comes to taking the puck around players and stuff like that. It's really impressive. So yeah, no, there's a few players that I'm very impressed with.
Atu Ratu?
Yeah, Atu Ratu. He's actually injured right now. He's been injured for most of the playoffs, believe it or not. But the one thing I look forward to with Atu Ratu, and I guarantee you he'll be on the Canucks next year, is his face-off skills. He wins draws. It reminds me a lot of Bo Horvat, which is hilarious because they traded Bo Horvat for him. But Bo Horvat was renowned for his face-off skills and being able to win draws, right? So
player I've been interested in the Canucks farm system, and he's been having a good playoff so far, is Kirill Kudryavtsev.
Kudryavtsev.
I've actually been quite impressed from what I've seen with his development, that he's another player in the rough that could make the team in the future.
It's crazy when you think of where we were at, you know, back in the Jim Benning era. We couldn't get a defenseman to save our soul. Drafted Quinn Hughes, and then all of a sudden we started picking up, you know, really good defensemen. Kudryavtsev is somebody we drafted, I believe, in 23 or 24. I want to say 24. So that's not that long ago. No, it was 23.
It's 22.
22, okay.
He was taken seventh round.
I was going to say it couldn't have been 24 because he wouldn't be in the AHL already. But you know, he's had a really good season this past season, and he's impressed a lot. So, you know, they've got people on the left and the right that can really help in Vancouver eventually. So it's kind of interesting to see what they're doing.
So I have a serious question. I mean, I guess my questions are usually try to be serious, but,
as opposed to a comedic one.
Yeah, and I'm going to say the same thing to you as you say to us. Take your Canucks glasses off. I'm looking at some of the players.
Yeah,
and it's not a young team for being the farm system for the Vancouver Canucks.
So there are young players, but on average, I agree.
The youngest player is 20.
Yeah.
So my point being...
But that's typical for the AHL, right? Like, you're not going to have guys who are 18.
I know that, but my point being to the question was, okay, 4-1, 3-1.
Edmonton's on the board, 3-1.
Edmonton's on the board, yep.
Nuge.
Are there any players, I mean, other than a couple of standouts, Lekari Mäki probably being one, Atu Ratu, are there any players that you can see as standouts that you could pretty much right now, you'd bet money on it, they're guaranteed to make the Canucks? Not even necessarily next year, but as a potential depth player. Because how many of these, maybe two, are going to be like impact players for the Canucks moving forward? Probably not many, right?
Well,
it's not usually,
you know,
the case.
It's so funny. Like, the way young players are, their ceilings are just through the roof when they're young, right? Like, they can do anything. But yeah, it's all a matter of who they play with and who's their coach and things like that. The guys that kind of stand out to me, who I think will for sure be on the Canucks, are players like Max Sasson, players like, you know, Lekari Mäki probably will be there. He's actually had somewhat of a soft playoffs, but I think he's also not used to playing this long, coming from the SHL, coming, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But we've got Tom Olander coming up next year. We've got Victor Mancini, who's definitely going to be on the Canucks. I said Max Sasson. And then, you know, like Linus Karlsson, these are the type of players who they make such an impact on an Abbotsford team that's in the finals that you kind of have to say to yourself, like, these guys are definitely going to be on the team.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got guys who are like, you know, who were signed as free agents who are making an impact. And I think of, what's his name?
Is it Sammy Blaze?
No. Well, ironically, Sammy Blaze is, is somebody who tried out for the Vancouver Canucks this year but didn't make the team. But he's made a huge impact on Abbotsford in the AHL. Like, yeah, he's, and I mean, the guy's got experience. He's won Stanley Cup. He knows what it takes. And, you know, you got to think he's a huge reason why they're where they're at right now, you know, with that never give up mentality. And, you know, as McDavid would say, that dig in mentality, right?
I look at a guy like Jonathan Lekhiermak. He hasn't had an amazing playoffs. He's been good.
Yeah, he actually has been sitting mostly lately.
Yeah, and I look at him, and the fact that he was a mid first round pick, I would have expected him to make the Canucks by now at this point. Again, I think it like goes back to the whole mental aspect of the game. You were talking about the SHL kind of not necessarily going as long and maybe a little bit easier.
Yeah.
I can't give a lot of credence to players given that as an excuse, because again, you can look at a guy like Pontus Holmberg on the Leafs, and I can reference the Leafs with this. He played in the SHL. He was a 7th round pick, I believe. And you know, has consistently been able to make the team for the Leafs every year, and the Leafs are a perennial playoff team. Yeah. So a guy like Lekhiermäki, it could be a head thing, but I, you know, as an organization, not necessarily that they have to give up on him right now, they don't, but no, they really got to start pushing him. Like, hey, if you want to be part of the big club, you've really got to show it.
Well, there's expectations for him, right? Like Lekhiermäki, the thing about him is he has played on Vancouver like this year. He's played a few games for Vancouver this year, but he's been up and down between Vancouver and Abbotsford this year. And the reason why he's on Abbotsford is because they were able to waive him and he could play for Abbotsford after Vancouver didn't make the playoffs. But the expectation with him is that he's basically going to replace somebody like Brock Besser. Right, he plays the same game. He's just faster. Like he's got better feet than Besser.
He's
does.
Small.
Yeah,
I mean, really, he's 5'11", 172 pounds right now. That's not going to cut it for the NHL. He's got to put on some beef.
Yeah, and he will, and he will eventually. But
I mean, again, he's about to turn 21. So I mean, that is still pretty young. Pretty young. Right?
Arshdeep Bains was the player I was thinking of, by the way. He's another one who I've been very impressed with. Sorry to interrupt, but he's another player that I've been very impressed with in terms of making an impact on the team. And he was just somebody that they signed as a free agent.
14 points in 18 games for the Canucks right now.
He scored two goals to win the final game of the last round. So he was a major player in that game. So, yeah, he's definitely been somebody I've really, really enjoyed having on the team.
Yeah. Yeah, I like seeing all different, I guess, nationalities, you know, in the NHL. And again, having a guy like Arshdeep, it's awesome to see.
It is, and you know, these are guys who are from the area.
Yeah, he's from Surrey.
He's from Surrey. Yeah. Jujhar Kerr is from Surrey as well. So these are players who are from the area who want to, you know, who want to make an impact and play for their hometown team. So it's exciting. You know, one other just aspect, just to top it off with the Abbotsford Canucks, is that they've been getting goaltending. You know, the one thing that we were worried about at the beginning of the season when Archer Seelovs came and played for Vancouver was he was letting in some soft goals, and it was a little scary because he wasn't the same player that he was in the playoffs last year. But he's really showing his worth, you know, this year in the playoffs.
And Seelovs has been kind of the runaway starter.
He's been runaway starter. Yeah. Tolopil has maybe played two games, maybe. He might have even finished games for Seelovs. Like, that might be the difference. But ultimately, it's been Seelovs' playoffs, and he's shut out games. And, you know, he's been really impressive. And it's nice to see that he can kind of bounce back from all of that. And also, the one cool thing about Seelovs, and I think we know this from his history playing, you know, in the World Juniors, getting medals and playing for the men's national championships, is that he can perform in games that mean something. So he might be a huge difference maker when it comes to the finals here. It's really, really exciting to see.
They've got all of their goaltenders. The shortest guy is 6'3".
Yeah.
On the Abbotsford Canucks. Yeah. That's good. You want to have a big goaltender.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. You know, and actually just keeping sort of the pin on Vancouver for a second, you know, this week has actually been pretty exciting for women's hockey as well. In the PWHL, we just had the expansion draft between Vancouver and Seattle, and they did draft some pretty great players when you consider skill level. But I'm just going to get the list here. So talk amongst yourselves for a second.
Well, I can give you the list of players that are on the Vancouver team.
Okay.
That were picked. So I'll go right through it just basically from what I see here. So they picked forward Abby Boreen, forward Izzy Daniel, forward Jen Gardner. Denisa Krizova was expansion draft. Brooke McKigg was expansion draft. Sarah Nurse was a signing. Gabby Rosenthal was expansion draft. Sydney Bard, expansion draft. Ashton Bell, expansion draft. Sophie Jacques, was the signing.
Trophy Jake's.
Sorry. Claire Thompson, D-man, or I guess D-woman.
D-person.
A signing, and then goalie Emerence Mashmeyer.
Yeah, so with the signings, you have basically the order at which they did the signings. It was Claire Thompson, then it was Sophie Jakes, then it was Mashmeyer, I believe, then it was Sarah Nurse, and then
You're looking at Vancouver. Yeah, it was Bell. It was Bill Coos.
No, sorry. I'm just thinking of the signings in particular.
Signings, gotcha.
I'm trying to find this silly thing. Hang on here. So Jen Gardner, I'll just start with her. Jen Gardner, she was the last signing, basically their fifth signing. They had to make five signings, each team did, before they could do the expansion draft. And if they didn't make five signings, like let's say they did four signings, they got an extra pick in the expansion draft. But nice. Both teams did make their five signings before the time came up. Jen Gardner was their fifth signing in Vancouver. She's a hometown girl. She's the first hometown girl that they signed, which is really exciting. And she's also a very talented player. Like she's got, you know, she's renowned for what she was able to do this past season as a rookie playing for Montreal. Right. So it's kind of exciting when you look at the kind of abilities that the players that they have that where they were to bring on. Like, for example, Sarah Nurse, one of the best players in Toronto this year. She signed in Vancouver. You know, that's something that nobody expected it, but it's because Toronto didn't protect her, you know?
Yep. I was curious about that because I was thinking to myself as you guys were talking and you said Sarah Nurse was signed.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, how could she be signed if the PWHL just started with their contracts? How could she be a free agent?
Their contracts are all short, like 1-2 years.
Well, and that's what she just signed with Vancouver was 1 year.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think with the expansion, like the fact there was two expansion teams, they got a window for signing players too that the other teams didn't.
Right. Yeah, so Claire Thompson has a 1-year contract. Sophie Jakes has a 3-year contract. So she's sort of long-term contract when it comes to that type of signing. Emerence Mashmeyer, who's one of the best goalies in the league, by the way, I should point that out, signed in Vancouver now. So it's kind of like, it reminds me a lot of the Luongo when he came to Vancouver. It's kind of like the female version. And then Sarah Nurse has a 1-year contract. Jen Gardner, I'm just trying to see how long her contract is. It looks like it's just a 1-year contract, 25-26 season. That'll probably go longer just based on the fact that she's from Vancouver. She's a hometown girl. You never know, though. You never know what could happen. She might decide to move on somewhere else and try to play somewhere else. But it's kind of unheard of for some of these players playing on like their third teams and whatnot. Right?
Interesting with the expansion draft that in the first round, both Vancouver and Seattle both picked players from the Ottawa Charge.
Yeah, Ottawa and probably the other. So the two majorly hit teams were probably Ottawa and Minnesota, being that they were both in the finals this past year. But yeah, they took. So in the expansion draft, Vancouver got the first overall pick based on a random draw, and they showed the draw on air on camera. And it's basically they each had a ball, and then they put this ball the balls in a box, and they mixed the balls around, and then the commissioner basically took out the balls, or whoever was doing it took out the balls, and whoever ball it was that they got first overall pick, and it was Vancouver. So Vancouver got to pick Ashton Bell, who is a defenseman from the Ottawa Charge. One of the best defensemen in the league. So just going back to the decor that they have now with Claire Thompson, with Sophie Jakes, two of the best defensemen in the league, along with Ashton Bell, they're basically trying to be defense heavy, right? Whereas sort of the Seattle side of things, they went with more offense, more forwards. You know, they have with them they have what is her name?
Hannah Bilka.
No, that's who they picked in the expansion draft. But who is the Hillary Knight? That's who it is. They have Hillary Knight that they signed in the signing process. Who, of course, was one of the most kind of coveted forwards that people could ask for. So she signed in there, and then they got Hannah Bilka, who is one of the top forwards in the draft. They also got what's the other name that they got?
I could name off the Seattle team here, too, in terms of players.
Yeah, go for it.
Hannah Bilka, expansion draft. Alex Carpenter was a signing. Jesse Eldridge was expansion draft. Julia Gosling, expansion draft. These are all forwards so far.
Yep.
Hillary Knight was a signing. Danielle Sir.
She's going to be the captain, by the way. I'm sure of it.
Easily. Considering her age too, yeah. She's 36, I believe, this year.
She's retiring from international play as well. So
yeah, Danielle Sardakny, another forward, was a signing. Kayla Barnes, D girl, was a signing. Emily Brown,
you could just say D, you know,
just D
or defense.
Emily Brown, D. Megan Carter, D.
What's a D girl? Oh my
god, Anita. We're being canceled. Anna Wilgren and Corinne Schroeder, the goalie.
Yeah, so and Corinne Schroeder is supposed to be a decent goalie too. So Seattle's not going to be a team to laugh at. And I think that's the one thing that most fans of the other teams are kind of upset about is how good these expansion teams get to be, being able to take all these players. But that's what you get when you have a league with only eight teams.
That's true.
You know, you're going to have this problem.
Yeah.
It's going to happen in Vancouver and Seattle when the next expansion team comes. Like you were saying, I think they're expecting to be like 10 teams within the next couple of years or something like that. So
not 10 more teams, just 10 total.
10 total.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So two more teams, right? You know, so it's going to happen again fairly soon. So it's just a matter of when. I think we just have to get used to the fact that these are going to be some good teams.
Well, and now the rest of the teams that have players taken have a bunch of holes. Like, I think they've only got like 9 players on their team now, and they have to start filling in some of the holes that they had.
Yeah, we've got, from what I understand, they've got signing season coming fairly soon. I want to say the 16th or something around there, where they get to sign players from teams that have expiring contracts. So like UFAs, if we will. I don't think they have RFAs though in this league. I think it's UFA, like you have an expiring contract, you can sign that player if you want.
So I'm a little ignorant to the fact, and if you guys know, please educate me, because I'd really like to learn. And if not, I'll look it up. But what feeds the PWHL mostly? Like, is it collegiate players for the most part? Do they bring people over internationally? Because it's not like there's a junior league that they can pull from. Like,
I think
for
they
example,
do have a junior league, actually. But they can pull from collegiate leagues, too.
I would imagine that'd probably be the
biggest pool. I don't remember what the league is called, but I thought I read that they do have a junior league that they can draft players from.
Okay.
They do have an actual amateur draft coming up like soon after the signing period. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how that all plays out. This is my first time experiencing in the PWHL, so I'm gonna be, you know, avidly interested, because of course I'm very interested in this Vancouver team, and I'm interested to see what happens and how things work and kind of go from there. But yeah, it's exciting. I think you know, these teams have the and I did see an interview, by the way, with the GM of Vancouver, where she said that, you know, they were trying to go a little bit lighter on the forwards this specific expansion draft because they wanted to see what they could get in the signing phase and also see what kind of trades they can make to make stuff happen too. So it's really interesting to see what they can do.
Well, it's smart to pull, obviously, from the international side too. Like, if you look at some of the teams that are in the PWHL, they do have quite a few different international players that are on the teams.
The one of the draft picks, Denisa Krizova, that Vancouver picked from Minnesota, she, I believe, is from Czech Republic, I believe. So she's the first international player signed to Vancouver. Everybody else is basically from Canada. So it's literally like a mini team Canada. It's kind of exciting. But I'm really looking forward to see what kind of team they pull off here. Some of these players are really exciting to watch. I've seen some highlights of all of them. Brooke McQuigg is somebody who I look forward to. She's a young player who has a lot of skill, and she passes well, she skates well, you know, makes plays. So that's really exciting. Abby Boreen, another skilled forward. She's not young, I don't think. I think she's, like, she's not old, but she's not young, you know, but also skilled, very skilled. And, Izzy Daniel, she's a speedster from what I saw. So that's kind of cool to look at, too. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
PWHL
lots going on, right?
Yeah, PWHL is going to be some good hockey. And the fact that we have it, you know, so close to home, tickets won't be too expensive, so I can go over there, take, you know, by the way, I should point out, you know, I talked to you before about my son being scared of going on the ferry. He's not scared anymore. We went to Vancouver on the weekend, and he got to experience the big city. It was a thrill for me.
What'd you go for?
Just for fun. We just went and explored the city. And
go do something?
Yeah, go look at the big buildings and go look at Rogers Arena, BC Place. And, you know, he got to see it all. He rode the SkyTrain. He rode the Sea Bus and did it all. He had a blast. And, you know, it's tough when you have a kid who's got so many anxieties.
Because,
you know, you got it, you know, with him with so many anxieties and stuff, it's really challenging to be able to go and do those things, right? So, it was nice to be able to actually see him overcome those fears. And, you know, he finally got his hair cut as well. He doesn't have long hair anymore. So same thing, you know, he's kind of overcoming a lot. So, you know, for him to be able to say to me, yeah, I want to go on the ferry and I want to go see Vancouver do all that. It was a big deal.
I mean, you guys know how do I put this politely? How punctual and neurotic I am when it comes to planning.
Yeah.
Things and making sure things are in a row.
What are you talking about, Brandon?
What do you mean? I'll be honest with you. When Tiff and I went over in December, I took her to the Marianas Trench concert. And we basically just, we walked on the ferry.
Yeah.
We took transit. We walked wherever we wanted to go. And that was like one of the most cool experiences that I can recall over the past 10, 15 years of my life, of like an event to go and do something.
It takes just so much stress off. Finding your own way. Right? It just takes so much stress off of things when you're just sort of flying by the seat of your pants and like...
See, that's just... actually never the case for me.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean.
Like, and I mean, and I don't think that it took the stress off my plate.
Oh, I see.
Just had a good time doing it.
Fair enough.
For a change. Almost because I think we had planned to do it that way.
Yeah.
As ironic as that is.
Yeah.
We still planned out, like we knew our routes where we had to catch transit for the most part. There was a few hiccups, but... It wasn't spontaneous. Like we didn't just go, oh, why don't we go try this? Like that I couldn't do that.
Sorry. For sure. Yeah.
The taking transit and walking around and just kind of doing what we wanted to do was pretty much the extent of my spontaneity. But I thought it was just neat to not really have to work. Like you say, the traffic can get pretty nasty, right?
Yeah. Yeah, obviously driving over is no fun at all. I mean, we took the bus. I wasn't going to pay that much money to go over there just for him to experience the city. Because, like, you on the ferry to drive on, you're looking at, like, $100 each way.
Oh, yeah.
Minimum. And so, yeah, for me, I'm like, no, bud, we're not going to drive. We're going to walk over. I totally regret walking everywhere because I was so sore for the next 2 days. But for the experience alone, it was worth it. I got some great pictures of him, like, just sort of looking at the big, the big towers. And, you know, we were on the sea bus and I got this picture of him, like, looking out the window at the sea. And, like, this kid is, like, it's so fun to, like, take him at all these things and see the world through his eyes because, like, I remember what it's like when I was a kid and just being so fascinated with, oh, they just scored again.
Edmonton scored again.
3-2. Okay. Yeah. All right. We got a whole other period to play here. Let's
calm
see what
down
happens
there,
here.
Nurse, man. You're going to pull a muscle in your giant
talking
neck.
About our kids. It was my son's first field trip with the school this past
week. Oh, right on.
And it was really fun for him. They just went to Raftrevor Beach.
Yeah.
But the night before his field trip, I took him to go see the new Lilo and Stitch movie.
Oh.
So the live action version, which was actually really good. I was quite impressed with the girl that played Lilo, and Stitch is amazing.
Are you going to take him to see the new How to Train Your Dragon movie?
I probably will. Reason I mentioned the Lilo and Stitch is that right after the movie, we had to go to Walmart to get him some sandals. And immediately when we walked in there was a bucket that had Lilo and Stitch for. It had like all the sandcastle stuff.
Oh, so, right on.
And he immediately ran over, Daddy, I want this. We're going to the beach tomorrow. I'm like, sounds good, buddy.
That's
and
awesome.
He had a blast with it the next day. So.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our kids went to the beach on a field trip too. I went to Parksville Beach, I think, and we bought buckets and scoops and all that stuff. They had a blast. You know, kids are so funny. Like, it's so easy to entertain them, but when they're bored, boy, do they let you hear it. It's so funny. But you know, it's we're lucky to live in the world that we live in and get to experience the things we get to experience. But it's funny how often we take things for granted too. You know, like I love the big city. I love going to Vancouver and just people watch. Like I could sit there on Granville Street and just watch people go by. It's just so entertaining because like everybody is different. Everybody. You know?
I could totally sit on East Hastings and watch police go by too. Constantly. Ambulances.
Yeah.
Working.
No, I miss living in the city. I loved living over there.
It's kind of deceptive sometimes though. I tell you, we were staying at a hotel and the Orpheum Theater was just up the street.
Mm-hmm.
At least it seemed like it was just up the street.
Yeah.
You can see the theater almost from your hotel or out on the street anyway. But every block is exactly the same. And by the time you really walk it, it's like 25 minutes just to get to the theater. And you're like, how is it that far? But yeah. it's for the most part, it's flat. All the buildings are the same. It's the same architecture all the way along. It's hard to kind of landmark differences. So it's deceiving sometimes. And it's like, it's the same after our trip, especially when you go to a concert, you wear nice shoes and you're not wearing your runners. For me anyway, I wore like my dress shoes, and the next day you're like, oh yeah, that was
farther than I thought.
When you were younger, it wasn't such a big deal, but now that you know things start to creak and ache, and
or if you're drunk, you don't care if you're drunk either. Again, until the next day.
Speaking of drunk, that's the end of our show, everybody. I want to thank everybody for watching and listening and joining us. If you guys have comments, please make sure you let us know. Leave us a comment on any of our social media. We're available at the Puck and Pod everywhere you get your social media and everywhere you get your podcasts. Thank you guys once again for listening for the Puck and Pod. My name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm going to bed.
We'll see you guys on the next one.